Greetings from ReachMahjong.com. I am Garth Nelson. And you are?
Jen Barr.
And we have extra guest with us. Special guest, not Adrian, as some people are mistakenly inclined to call her. It's Andrea. Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
How do you like Japan?
Great.
Fantastic. We like Japan, too.
That's who else is in the studio?
Oh, yes, and Troy Presley, of course. He's our producer. But you all know about him. So we have to anyway, yes, thank you for all everybody joining us. And how was your week of Mahjong, Jen?
I didn't play Mahjong this week.
Holy bagoli.
Yeah.
A week off of Mahjong?
Pretty much.
That is unbelievable. I don't think I've done that, well, except for, like, weeks when I go home for Christmas.
Yeah, well, Andrea came in on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So we've been hanging out. We had my birthday party on Monday, which you came to, and Troy
yes.
came to.
Good times at the birthday party. Happy yeah. birthday, Jen.
Thank you.
Happy birth week, as it is.
Yes. And Kondo came too. That was fun.
Yes, good times.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, there's just been no time to play Mahjong. You haven't been learning Mahjong, huh, Andrea?
No.
No interest, huh?
Really.
All right, something... to do something to fix these crazy Americans. let's see. I actually have played a few days of Mahjong at Sentenbo.
Oh, nice. You've been working.
Yes, I have been working, and I have been playing pretty well there, anyway. I'm obviously taking the night off from Sparta, which has been pretty weak for me in the last month. I have not been winning at Sparta. It's been a tough few weeks at Sparta.
Really?
Yeah. Are you going to start going to Sparta again?
Yes.
I think that's a good idea, because it's good practice, and then I won't be the only person losing all the time.
Well, before I was winning in all the leagues, and I had a lot of work going on, so I thought, well, as long as I'm winning, then I'm doing something right, so maybe I'll just keep it, and then now that I've started losing, I think I'm going to go again.
I like how she just glided right past the fact that I said that I implied that she would be losing just as much as me. It's good to ignore jerk-off comments like that, isn't it?
Yes,
because I need more ignorance. I'm chock full of ignorance. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about what has been going on in the world of Mahjong these days. Let's see. There's a new Korean Mahjong League. Did you know about the Korean Mahjong League?
Are you sure it's new?
All right. Well, it was new to me.
Okay.
It's the first I ever heard of it.
Right.
And they're having their first international tournament in October. It'll be Sunday, October 3rd in Seoul, and you can start signing up for that in July, apparently. And they are hoping to have...
Oh, we're going
to
have league, though. You won't be able to make it.
October 3rd. That is a good point. That'll be the first league session of the of that season for us, huh?
Yeah, if either of us had made it up to the C-Leagues, we could have... Definitely joined in that, but
we did zip over there after.
Oh, we still have time to make the C League before next.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes.
Well, you do.
I could jump up through a special league, but I'll probably be minus again, as I do. I do well in special league and then do crappily in normal leagues. And why that is, I do not know. But yes, it does. I'm not sure what kind of rules they'll be having at the Korean Mahjong League, but they said they were hoping to get players from both Europe and Japan also, so I imagine they're...
I know that there have been Reach tournaments in Korea before, so I imagine it was that league, but it just wasn't international tournaments. They were all a Korean, kind of, like, all the notifications, everything were in Korean, but I'd seen it on Mahjong News before, so...
Very nice. All right. Other upcoming tournaments, things that I thought were interesting, was the French Relay Marathon Mahjong tournament. It's a 24-hour thing that you have two player teams playing. I guess it's probably not going to be Reach Mahjong, but it's probably going to be like the competition rules from China. But it just sounded interesting, just kind of an interesting format. You have two people playing relays, and I guess they have like 12. Rounds of 2 hours each, and then they said that they're going to penalize teams 50 points per hour of difference in that the two players play. So, it seems like if they're going to have 2 hour rounds, then they could just obviously just play those 2 hour rounds. But I guess the thing is, if you're having a bad game, maybe you can have your other player jump in and play for you.
Ah, gotcha. So you can jump in the middle of the game, not just. After the rounds?
That's something I hadn't even thought of. Maybe that's the way it works.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear exactly how this relay marathon format
that would
is
be really
fun.
I want to try something like that.
I know,
that'd
be interesting.
Like a tag team kind of.
Yes. Of course, all the information is French in French because they, you know, they're anti-English over there.
We do have some French friends on the forums. Maybe they can enlighten
us. Help us out, yes, yeah. Enlighten us. And there's another tournament in Paris called the Mahjong Paris Tournament. That's the 24th and 25th of April. Oh, yes, that marathon tournament is in November. So, yes, a lot of time to figure out what the rules are there if we did want to join. Let's see some results. Tournament results. The Cherry Blossom Tournament in the Netherlands was won by Marianne Kruutze. I'm sure I got the pronunciation. I nailed the pronunciation on that. I'm positive. Runners-up were Ton Rinders and Ingrid Broder. That I guess they will all be representing the Dutch at the European Reach Mahjong, European Reach Championship, because this was the final qualifier for the Dutch to go to the European Reach Championship.
Nice. Also, Gemma and Vortex both attended.
Oh, they did play in the
Cherry Blossom tournament. Yep.
Very nice. Do you have any idea how well they did?
I think Gemma got 19th, and then Vortex, Tom Mistonen, got 16th, I believe.
Wow.
They were both in the teens, and there were over 60 players.
Right. So, yeah, not bad. Good performance by TeamReachMahjong.com. If I can randomly just put anybody on our team.
No, that sounds good to me. we jumped the bungee tower at Macau Tower as TeamReachMahjong.com.
So yes, obviously a team. And one other result, I did talk about Champions League last week, and I was lamenting the fact that the Japan Professional Mahjong League site had not actually mentioned anything about Champions League, despite the fact that I talked up the site for having been so good on reporting. They still haven't reported on Champions League. I don't understand what's going on. But I did find out from Kondo that the winner was Horiuchi. Way to go, Horiuchi. He was in our league. D1.
Wow.
He moved up from D1 to C3 last session, and he did that in pretty strong fashion. I guess the guy knows something about Mahjong.
You know, like, a lot of the people that joined around the time that we did are really dedicated, really serious, and actually pretty good. That wasn't the case always before we came in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you talk to people that are, like, came in around the time of Kono, and, you know, they'll be like, oh, there are 20 players the year I came in, now there's two left. And
really?
Yeah, most of the generations are all like that, but if you look at our group...
For some reason, our group was a pretty dedicated...
Yeah, we have, like, I mean, there were a lot of people coming in with us, or like 70, but out of that, there's at least 20 people that are doing a lot of work for the league, that are posting really good results.
And it's also, it's also evident in the fact that, like, in, whatchamacallit, the 12 or the 10 steps tournament.
Yeah.
The people that are generally in our group, they have to have two sessions for us, because there's still so many people.
Right.
Making it pretty much a 12 and a half, or a 10 and a half step tournament.
Right.
And they still call it 10 steps, those jerks.
I know. I had a lot of complaints about that tournament before, just because of that fact. But one of the things is that, like, there are some people that have full-time jobs, but most of these people are working full-time in the Mahjong industry. Like, like Kamimura, the author of Shin's Eye, which was a regular column for us last year. He is the manager of 3 Mahjong parlors.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing he posts results in the tournaments. He's moved up in the leagues most of the times that we've had since we started. Naoya Oga, he won the special league. He's way up there. Also, Hisato is the same year as us.
Uh-huh.
And he's obviously way famous.
Yeah.
Kenta Iwai, same thing.
Well, all right. I mean, to be fair, Kenta was part of another pro association before joined.
That's true, but... I mean, these are all the people that came in the year that we came in are really posting results. Also, Ota, he made the final table of the 10-tier tournament.
Ota?
I think that's his name.
Oba.
Ota is the guy who nudged me out of the final table of...
That jerk.
Yeah. Oba, he was posting amazing results, and our generation is really kicking much ass.
Wow, way to go, us. We can associate ourselves with that success.
Of course.
Appropriate it.
Yes.
All right, so those are results. And one other piece of news I thought was interesting, just they had the Amusement Expo at Makuhari here in Japan. Some big stars from our, well, the big girl stars, Nikaido's and Kozue, Izumi and Saki, plus our Kaicho, Nada and Moriyama and Kojima-sensei were there. But they have this advertisement, or this, I don't know, display for something called Pasoli. Have you heard of Pasoli? Pasoli?
Yes, Paisley? We did a testing for it, actually.
You were part of that test?
Yeah.
And so, when I looked on the net, it said web shopping, but then the Konami site said something like electronic money. So how does it work?
So it's kind of like, you know, we have the Saifu Keitai, the wallet cell phones.
Oh, yes.
So it's something to do with that, I think. You basically have an account. So when you're playing on the game, you don't put in the 100 yen coins. It takes from your account each game you
directly
play.
Directly from your account.
Yeah.
So you don't have to carry money around with you.
Right. So I don't know, but it seems to me that it would be putting... The money would be going into Konami instead of going into the arcade. So I'm not sure how the accounting all works with that.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works then. Play without carrying any money. Just carry your card around.
Right.
And hope nobody steals your card. Although I guess it would be pretty obvious. It is your personal card. They couldn't use it for any other account.
Right.
The money that's on there. All right. I see how this works. Yes. Pretty sharp.
I'm not sure if it's a card. You might be able to put it in your... If it's a card, I'm sure you could put it in your cell phone as well.
Huh. Oh,
so
okay.
Here. I don't know if it's a touch thing or a... I don't know. I don't know all the details.
Oh, so they didn't have it all totally worked out for the test when you did it?
Well, they did, but it was only... I mean, we were only there playing so that they would have opponents to play against, the people who were actually testing the money.
I see.
So the pros didn't use the electronic money to test it. We used regular coins.
Huh.
Yeah.
How strange. Boy, that's funny that they would actually even really need pros for that. Although, I guess, for the test, why would you really need pros? But
it was a selling point.
Just another event for the fans to come see the pros.
Right.
Well done. Well done, us. Even though I didn't actually make it into the test. All right, that's Mahjong news for this week. And that brings me to our little strategy talk, which I forgot to tell you what it was while we were prepping.
Oh, wait.
What? Tsumogiri?
You're only going to talk about Champions League? And wasn't there a really, really big tournament last weekend?
Another big tournament last weekend?
We have a friend in the league called Naoki Satokuma. He won.
Holy cow, that's right, that was last weekend. I did not even check that. You can talk about that result, because I have nothing on it. I forgot to look. That's the Phoenix Cup, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's the biggest tournament of JPML for the entire year, and arguably the biggest result tournament of the entire Mahjong industry.
Anything I can't participate in, I don't know.
Well, you are
big.
Participating.
In a manner, in a super long, drawn-out manner of speaking. Yes, but how did it go?
Okay, so the Phoenix Cup, I did not.
Oh.
But the Phoenix Cup is the finals tournament for the entire JPML League, Japan Professional Mahjong League. So it is something that Garth and I are playing in, or you and I. We play, so we have all the leagues. Most of our listeners know about that. It goes from A1, A2, B1, B2, C1, C2, C3, D1, D2, D3. And everybody's goal is to get into A1 and get to the final of the Phoenix Cup. Or supposed to be. That's what everyone tells me the goal is.
It'll be a good 3 years before it's even possible for us to dream about that happening.
Right. Well, if we're lucky, it will be a good 3 years.
Yeah. That's the shortest possible time we could dream about being in the Phoenix Cup.
Right. So the final table is last year's winner and the top three players from A1.
Isn't that amazing? Like, so Maehara has not had to play all year.
Right.
And it's funny, when he comes to Sparta, he really looks like he's jonesing to play.
I know.
Like, we're all leaving, like, we've all just played a few hours, and then he asks Taki and Sasaki, he's like, hey, you guys want to go play some Mahjong for a few hours? Like, drags him out to play until morning. Those guys.
Well, he also won the 10-tier tournament, right? So he comes in at the end there, too. I'm not sure what level he comes in. But, and he's seeded into everything, so he doesn't have to...
He just waltzes in at the end and says, I'll just play the finals.
Right. So this year, probably most of the people at ReachMahjong.com were rooting for either Naoki Setokuma, which we talked about last time, how he got in there and we weren't really expecting him to, and it was a great thing. And then also...
Great last push on the final session.
Right, and then also Yudai Maehara. So Yudai Maehara is considered pretty much to be the best player in the entire league right now, and maybe the best Mahjong player by most of the people in our league. And he was at the final table as well as Naoki Setokuma. It's a 3-day event. I wrote in the report on ReachMahjong.com that it was a 2-day event. That was a mistake.
Holy cow, 3 days.
3 days.
Wow, I did not realize it was that long.
Yep. And I guess Setokuma-san...
What did they do for 3 days?
Do they
play poker?
Mahjong? I think it's like 12 to 20 games. It's a lot.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So I guess on the first day he got a lot of points, Setokuma. On the second, third day he was just not getting the tiles.
Uh-huh.
It just wasn't in the cards. So he just really was really patient.
Uh-huh.
And he pulled through.
No way.
Yeah.
Setokuma pulled it out.
Yeah.
He is the Phoenix Cup holder.
He won. And you know, I know I said it on the podcast. I told him I want a birthday present and I want it to be you winning. And you know what? He did it for me. That's what I'm going to believe.
Wow. Way to go, Setokuma.
It was all for Jen.
I guess he really is good.
Yeah. And Maehara ended up getting fourth place, actually.
Wow, so. He dropped all the way down to fourth.
Yeah, and I saw Maehara, actually, about a week before the tournament.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, Maehara, I'm really torn. He's like, why? I said, I want you to win really bad, but, you know, I love Setokuma-san, too. And he said, he looks at me. And he has this look in his eye, and he's like, you know, I kind of want him to win, too. And I don't know how serious he was. But
that's kind of funny.
But it worked it out. So we have a brand new Phoenix Cup champion.
Setokuma's easy to root for.
And we can also brag that he was the first winner of a ReachMahjong.com Cup.
Yes, he did represent Japan and ReachMahjong.com at the Super Cup in Macau.
Yep, and we're having the next ReachMahjong.com Cup on March 28th. It's going to be at a parlor called Yanagi in Hachobori.
That'll be exciting to play at a new venue.
Yeah, we'll have all of the information. It's actually a really nice venue, too. We'll have all the information on the website this week.
All right.
So if you're in Tokyo, come join us.
Sounds like fun.
It'll be fun.
All right, and that brings me to... my our strategy talk for today. I wanted to talk about Tsumogiri Reach and the situations in which it's useful and situations and why it's actually not generally so useful. Tsumogiri Reach would be so Tsumo is of course your draw,
right.
And Tsumogiri means to discard the exact same thing you just drew.
Yes.
So Tsumogiri Reach would mean discarding a tile that you just drew. And reaching with that tile at the same time. In what situations would you do such a thing? Is it something you think you do often, or is it something?
I've actually seen it a lot more lately than I used to.
Huh.
I've seen it a lot lately. The best situation I can think of to do it is if you are ready, but you haven't reached yet.
Uh huh.
And somebody declares a con, a quad. And so there,
okay. You
get an extra Dora. That would be the most common situation I would use it in, I think.
Uh-huh.
Because, especially if you're playing with the Ippatsu, the first turn win, and the Uradora, the hidden Dora rules.
Right.
It becomes so much more profitable to reach in those situations.
There is another chance at getting a hidden Dora. And, of course, there's the possibility that you may have gotten a Dora with the tile that's the new Dora that's exposed. So yes, that is a very good example that I had not really thought of. And it comes from the fact that in fact, I think Tsumogiri Reach is generally a pretty bad play.
Mm.
So basically what you're doing is you're reaching without changing anything in your hand, and the other players see this. What what do they think? What could possibly have changed in your hand? Obviously, nothing changed in your hand.
In your hand, right.
Right, so what could have changed on the board all of a sudden that makes it so reachable? And like you say, that all right, the con is a definite example. But in other situations, it's just going to look to the other players like you have a very weak hand. And you're not your reach is going to be totally unscary. Nobody is going to look at your reach and say, wow, all right, now I'm scared. You know, in general, you want when you reach for players to stop and have to think a little bit about, Marge, do I want to keep trying to go with this hand or do I want to just give it up and let him see if he can draw his own tile?
So you can't think of a situation where, like, maybe you were ready with a four concealed triples hand and you didn't reach yet. And then all of a sudden you decide, well, now it's time to reach.
Well, all right, so I can understand reaching with a very strong hand, because you do want to win the hand somehow. But the thing is, when you don't reach right away with the first ready hand you have, I mean, if you end up reaching with a tile that you've just drawn, showing everybody that you didn't need to change anything in your hand, most of the time people are going to say, all right, well, there's some reason that he didn't reach before that.
Right.
Why didn't he reach before that? And in the vast majority of the situations, I think it's the two reasons that I can think of are either that your weight is no good, or that you actually have a very cheap hand and you're waiting for it to somehow get more expensive.
Right. I think that's the most common time that people do that, when they have, like, they're waiting to maybe switch to a three-colored run or something like that.
Right.
They're waiting
or
for
perhaps,
one side to come.
Yeah, or perhaps, like, you have a 9, a 7, 8, 9, you're hoping a 6 comes and
right.
you can change to simples.
Right.
And even if that doesn't come, but then you decide to reach, well, what changed all of a sudden that made you want to reach there?
Well, sometimes it's getting later in the game, so if you don't have a Yaku, if you don't have a hand point, then sometimes you need to reach. Maybe you were hoping to just make it a little bit more, but it never came, so now it's kind of do or die kind of situation. I mean, I think that's what I can imagine people thinking.
Yeah, I can imagine people thinking that, but I think in the end, it's a losing bet. It's the kind of bet that's going to make you... It's a losing play. It's the kind of play that's going to make you lose more in the end than actually gaining.
Mm. It's giving a lot of information, especially if you have the Ippatsu and Ura, the Hidden Dora, in your rules. In the A rules, in that situation, I think you would just never reach. You would just keep the ready hand and maybe even end up folding if it was that weak.
Right.
In the free rules with the Ippatsu and Ura, the B rules, I think it's more likely that... You would reach right away, or you would wait just one draw and then do it. But it gives a lot of information, like you're saying.
Well, here's an example of a hand that I had at Sentenbo. I had 5, 6, 7 three colored runs, but it was assured, except for the fact that the tile that I was waiting for was the 6 of characters, and it was only the 6 of characters because I had the 5 and 7. So I had a bad wait. I did, as it happened, draw 2 Doras, 2 Lucky Dragons, which was the 9 of characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting for a piano keys tile from the Dora, from the Lucky Dragon, and my weight is bad, but I do have 2 Dora and I have 3 colored runs, so I have a sure Mangan.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sure 8,000 points. What would you do in that situation? Would you, and you know, at the time I was waiting, before I got to ready, I was waiting for the 147 of bamboos. And I was, oh, come on, let me have the 6 of characters so that I can be waiting for the awesome wait. Of course, the 7 of bamboos comes. It's like, oh, God, you jerk.
Well, in that situation, you don't have to reach.
Right,
because
I don't
have
to reach.
Because you have a great hand.
Yes, so you would not reach in that situation?
Generally, I would not, no.
There,
especially if it's you're waiting for the 6 and it's an octave of the Dora.
Right.
So that's a really tough wait already.
Right.
I mean, if someone draws the 9, they're going to discard the 6.
Right.
Like, to switch it out usually if they have 7 and 8. So it's likely the 6 will come out anyway.
Uh-huh.
If you reach, it's
well, then
very
if,
unlikely.
If it's likely that the 6... Oh, okay. So you're saying that a player would not... I mean, having drawn Dora like that would not decide to take a stand there and throw that 6 anyway, even after I reached?
I think it's much less likely.
Uh-huh.
It depends on your opponents. I mean, if you have opponents that play like that, then you should... I mean, you really have to play to your opponents
right.
in these games, so that's something you have to watch your opponents and uh-huh. see if that's something they do or not.
Try to decide. Yeah. So, but in general, you would not reach with that hand.
Right.
Well, that is the way I played it. And then a couple draws later, the three of characters comes out. And then one draw after that, the dealer threw the nine of characters, which was, of course, Dora. So once dealer throws nine of characters, Dora, and somebody else has thrown the three, I'm thinking, okay, well, nobody needs the six. And I'm like, well, all right, screw this, because I'd been having a crappy day anyway. So screw you guys, I'm going to reach. And what happens?
The best thing to do when you have a crappy day is just to go on tilt and say screw everything and
play like an idiot. And you know what? It worked. First draw was the six of characters, and I turn over the hidden lucky dragon. I hit a tile there too. 4,000-8,000 points.
Wow.
And blam, like that, from right from there, from a crappy day, like hadn't won a game yet. Lost four games in a row. I ended up winning five of my last eight games. and the thing is, I really hate the way I managed to change my luck, because I feel like it was stupid play. I made a lame play. I didn't have the strength to reach, and then finally I'm all right, I'm just going to reach anyway, even though nothing changed. And then I just got lucky.
Well, the reaching on a gut shot is not a bad thing.
Not and necessarily a bad thing.
I did have a reason for it. Yeah, I did a very similar thing after I had lost like three or four games in a row when I was playing at Irifune in Yokosuka one day.
Uh-huh.
But I reached right away. Uh-huh. And I had a gut shot, and it turned out to be 4,000, 8,000. It was 16,000 uh-huh. point hand total. And it completely changed my luck for the rest of the day. I won four games in a row after that.
Isn't that weird how that works?
So the gut shot reach is not a bad thing. But I think there's something to say about having conviction in your moves.
Uh-huh.
And so if you want to be the person who plays without doing the tsumogiri, the direct discard reach, then, you know, that's something that you need to do with your game. But
it is something
it's not
like
the gut shot weight that's bad to reach on.
The thing is, in the end, having not reached in the first place, it's a very suspicious thing to do.
Mm.
And at our practice sessions, whenever anybody does a tsumogiri reach, it's the very first thing that's talked about when the hands are open. It's like, why didn't you reach right away? And there had better be a good reason. And there had better be a good reason for finally reaching in the end anyway.
Well, if you have something has changed like in your discards, you are waiting for the gut shot. If both of the octaves are in your discard and that's changed, that's a reason.
That is a possible reason, although Tsumogiri with that tile is going to also look very suspicious to players, and they'll probably...
You can wait one more tile
right,
and do it, too.
That's another thing I do. But the thing is, what I really like to do in that situation is once it comes out, wait until I have something already in my hand that I can switch out, so it'll look like I'm not doing a Tsumogiri Beach, but in fact it is still Tsumogiri Beach.
Yeah, a lot of the pros will, like, catch that, though. Not always in the reaching situation, but if you're ready and then you, like, switch something out, it actually throws the pros off the wrong way sometimes. That was something that we had mentioned in our study session before.
Uh-huh.
Like, they thought that the person was ready, but then when they... Or they thought that they weren't ready, but then when they switched one out, they thought that the player had got ready. So it worked the opposite. If they had just discarded the tile that they had drawn, the opponent still would have thought that they were not ready.
Huh.
But it, like, threw him off the wrong way.
That's interesting, because I have been severely admonished for doing that move. It's called Karagiri Reach. It means you're discarding air.
Yeah.
you're not actually really discarding anything. It's not a real discard. You're just trying to make it look like you're changing something, but you're not actually.
Right.
And most of the players said that there are extremely few situations where it's actually beneficial to do
that.
Right,
exactly.
In general, you're giving away information about your hand that you don't really want to give away.
Yeah.
But yes, that's one situation that I use to avoid looking like I'm doing a tsumogiri reach.
But you were saying that if you do the tsumogiri reach, if you discard the tile that you just drew and reach on it, that it would show that your hand is weak. So in your case, your hand was actually very strong.
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about your weight that was weak, or is this a separate situation? Like, maybe actually that's a good time to use it because people will think your hand is weak, but you're actually strong, so they'll be thrown off.
This is the three-colored
situation. Yeah, your example.
Well, but the thing is, I have a weak weight, so I still don't feel very strong. Even though I have a gigantic hand, if I manage to win it, my weight is pretty crappy, and I still feel weak in the end because my weight is weak.
Right.
So yeah, I mean there are different ways to think there, but I don't know. The thing is, with reach, I feel like in general you want people to fear your reach,
mm-hmm.
and I think in general people's reaction to a tsumogiri reach is to just ignore it.
Right.
Okay, so that about wraps up the tsumogiri reach talk. And let's wrap up the whole thing.
Okay.
Do you have any special plans for? Oh yes, you special non mahjong plan. But where are you going this weekend?
To Macau.
Very nice.
Yeah.
For the what is the Macau Cup?
Macau Poker Cup.
Macau Poker Cup. Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'm also going to stop by. There's a mahjong room at the Holiday Inn.
Oh wow, sounds like fun. What kind of mahjong do they play there?
I'm imagining it's Hong Kong style.
Hong Kong rules.
Yeah, right. So we're going to stop by there and check it out.
Sounds good. Yeah. It'll be very interesting to hear how things go at the Hong Kong Mahjong Room.
I think it should be fun.
All right. And that about wraps it up for our whole talk. Thank you for joining us, Troy and Andrea. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, my address is Garth, GARTHE, at reachmahjong.com.
And I'm Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com.
Drop us a line, and thanks for listening.
Thank you. ポンチリーチに一発ロー南生ジャンやりましょう目指すはもちろん役満床モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり寂れたジャンスマージャンワイドクラブ